from the inkwells of yore, to the digital screens of today, the kids present the comic book character of the month.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Thank you, Dungeon Master, and welcome back, kids, and thanks for listening. And welcome to our month-long celebration here on Kirby's Kids of the 50th anniversary of Dungeons and Dragons. And we will be reading the classic comic book series from TSR and DC, The Forgotten Realms. This is 25 issues written by one Jeff Grubb and illustrated by a very young Rags Morales. This is a classic comic book series, and our comic book character of the month for this series is none other than Dwalamore Omen, who is our comic book character of the month. We will be featuring all month long, every episode dedicated to the celebration of the 50th anniversary of Dungeons and Dragons, and specifically focusing in on this Forgotten Realms series that was republished in trade paperback form by IDW. And when we're delving into these stories, we will be covering them by story arcs, and the schedule will be published in the show notes. A little background on this particular comic book series. This was part of the second tranche of comics that would come out with TSR and DC's agreement, publishing agreement. The predecessor of this comic book series, and the one where Jeff Grubb first cut his teeth as a comic book writer, was the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons series. And we'd covered, though, that several episodes back here on Kirby's Kids. And I've thoroughly enjoyed that early delve into comics and TSR and the inner workings between the two companies, and TSR kind of guiding where they would like the comic book to go and incorporating elements of the rule set and the role playing into the comic book, almost an instructional manual in some instances on how to play the game and following the adventures of the characters. Well, you'll see here in Forgotten Realms a very similar tone, because you have Jeff Grubb writing the series. And Jeff, by this point, was a long-established game designer, module builder, writer, and author. As a matter of fact, by this point, he had published, along with his wife, Azure Bonds. And we would see the Azure Bonds series here really take flight. Kate Novak and Jeff had done this series. There was an iconic cover done by Clyde Caldwell on the book, and this was all part of the Forgotten Realms novel series. And this was when TSR was really ramping up the books and publishing of the books within the Forgotten Realms, having had a lot of success with, now this is outside of the Forgotten Realms, but having had great success with the whole Dragonlance series. TSR was wanting to churn out fantasy fiction, and they did. But in this particular book, you had Jeff with his wife, Kate Novak, writing this story within the Forgotten Realms. And Jeff was tied to the Forgotten Realms from the very start. He was instrumental in developing the relationship with Ed Greenwood and bringing the Forgotten Realms into TSR. For those unfamiliar with how all of that transpired, you had a young Elminster, otherwise known as Ed Greenwood, having developed this fantasy setting, the Forgotten Realms, during his childhood. He would then discover Dungeons and Dragons approximately around 1975 or so, and then incorporate that role-playing game into his realm. So here was a way in which he could play out the fiction with him and his gaming group up in Canada. So he reached out to Dungeons and Dragons, and specifically the folks at TSR with Dragon Magazine, wanting to write articles for Dragon Magazine because he really took a liking, loved Dungeons and Dragons, and really felt that his particular setting would suit the role-playing game well. So he started doing a series of articles in Dragon Magazine that became quite popular. He was offering up scenarios and little mini adventures in the Forgotten Realms that he felt readers could then incorporate into their own games. Well, fast forward to the ouster of one of the founders of Dungeons and Dragons and actually founder of TSR, one Gary Gygax, from the company around 1985. And his Greyhawk setting had been the dominant setting within TSR in Dungeons and Dragons. And TSR desired very much so to deviate quickly from that setting and to have another setting become the flagship setting for Dungeons and Dragons. Well, there had already been a lot of steam that had been accomplished as far as momentum on the Forgotten Realms and the popularity of it. Ed Greenwood was approached. Jeff Grubb was responsible for making sense out of the hundreds of thousands of pages of handwritten notes and text and maps and things to cobble together what would ultimately become the Forgotten Realms box set and a whole new setting being introduced by TSR in the mid to late 80s. Well, with that and the immense popularity of the Forgotten Realms happening, this was just a natural extension of promoting the Forgotten Realms, the D&D brand, TSR, by the Forgotten Realms being part of this second tranche of comics after the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons comics. So today, we are going to review the first story arc from the Dungeons & Dragons comics and the Hand of Vaprax. And this would be a 4-issue story arc. It would constitute Forgotten Realms issues number 1 through 4. It would span from August of 1989 and conclude in November of 1989. This was a fantastic starting point for this series. I don't think Jeff Grubb could have done any better as far as an introductory adventure. He would even bridge over two of his original characters from Azure Bonds. He would have Alias come in, as well as Dragon Bait, and they would make appearances in the story arc, incorporating that so he could ground the reader in something that had already been established. He would bring into these stories role-playing scenarios. He would make commentary on the mechanics of the game, almost a meta conversation that was happening within this comic book about the changes that were about to happen from first edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons into second edition. So that was a useful vehicle here, this comic book series, to bring readers, because you figure the first adopters for a Forgotten Realms comic book series would be the actual players of Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, many have asked here, just as an aside, many have asked, okay, Angus, why in the world do you have here on Kirby's Kids, of all things, March being an appendix end month, a dedicated month to that reading list that came out of the original Dungeon Master's Guide published by TSR back in 1979. And in that appendix, Gary Gygax listed sources of inspiration that a Dungeon Master could use for generating scenarios, homebrewed campaigns, adventures for all of the players to go on. Well, very simply, back in the day, before you had the direct market being as robust as it is today, and you had comic book shops that were just dedicated to comic books, you had these hybrid stores, particularly in medium to small towns, that would spring up. A single store could not sustain itself just off of selling comics. I mean, that was something of convenience store fare off of spinner racks or five and dimes. And they also couldn't sustain themselves just out of selling these new things called role-playing games and board games. But if they combined it all together into a one-stop shop, hey, they might stand a chance, because the monthly issues of the comics would get returned customers back. And you'd also have these role-playing games and other board games and things of that nature that might also interest those readers, and vice versa. Well, sure enough, it became a perfect storm for these small hobby shops that would spring up and would be selling both comics, role-playing games, and board games. All hobbyist things that this geek culture would just thrive on, would eat off of. So that gives you a little bit of the background here as to why do we have this marriage here between role-playing games, board games, and comics, and thus the declaration of an Appendix N month here on Curry's Kids. So back to Dungeons & Dragons that we're celebrating now. So in the first issue called The Ogre's Paw, which came out in August of 1989, we have a ship carrying Captain Omen. Now, again, that is our comic book character of the month, Dwellamore Omen, who is a very, very powerful magic user. And that is carrying him and his friends, Foxilion, Ishii, and Minder. And what happens is Minder, who is this large creature, a metal golem, throws the hand of Vaprak overboard because they're worried that it is exerting an evil influence over its captain. Meanwhile, there's a paladin, Priam Agravar, who has found the hand and deduced this artifact is indeed evil, and sets off to the nearest Sword Coast city to have it properly disposed of. In his travels, he meets an elf, Cap, who's being captured by gnolls, and that elf's name is Vartan High Selvar. And they defeat the gnolls, unaware that they are being observed by a scheming evil being named Gornak. Okay, so that sets us up here for this first adventure in the series. Now, what's interesting is the series itself has a common thread or theme that would be used for many of these adventures. We have a ship captained by a mage who has been given the mission to go round up very powerful artifacts throughout the realm. This ship can travel, phase in and out of different waters around the Forgotten Realms, and go after these artifacts. It's really, really cool. What's interesting here is the party composition, very typical of Dungeons & Dragons. And again, thank you, Jeff Grubb, for this. There were a couple of humans, so you have a paladin thrown in there. I had also already mentioned Aelys, who will show up in a bit. There's an elf, there's a halfling. There's a dwarf. Now, what's interesting about the dwarf is that she's a female dwarf. However, she was on the verge of death, and through very powerful magic here, we have our magic user, Dwellamore Omen, transfer the soul of this female dwarf into the body of Minder, who is this iron golem, this metal golem. So that's an interesting twist here in the whole scheme of things. As far as the specialization, composition of this party, we have our magic user, who's the captain of our ship. We have a paladin. We have a cleric. We have a fighter. We have a thief. So we've got a pretty balanced party here. And it's through the exposure of all of these challenges that then you have Chef Grubb able to meta communicate with the reader. The nuances here on what's happening as far as the rules, how magic works, things that would be incorporated, refined between first edition Dungeons and Dragons and second edition of Dungeons and Dragons. So if you had no familiarity whatsoever with Dungeons and Dragons, you would still get a lot of pleasure out of reading this book and this arc, this four-issue story arc. If you were a D&D player, you would love the references here to how magic works, how things would start to change within the realms, kind of a forecasting of things to come. So that is really, really cool and unique and different for a comic book. But yet at the same time, embracing a comic book tradition, particularly when it comes to superhero comics, of the following. When you're talking Marvel and DC in a multiverse, you're talking about world building. You're talking about things changing, the status of things changing, big crisis events happening over in DC, conversions of worlds, people traveling in between these worlds and the like. Well, that's no different. That is no different than Dungeons and Dragons. Within Dungeons and Dragons, you have all these different worlds. You have Dragonlance. You have the Forgotten Realms. You have Greyhawk. You have, you know, all sorts of different realms. Dark Sun, Planescape, Spelljammer was coming out around this time, which this comic book came out. So you've got a lot going on. And it seemed that the comic book, and particularly superhero comics in general, and the worlds of Dungeons and Dragons were kind of meant to be. Meaning, hey, this would be a good medium that the hobby itself could translate well into. They were already making compelling stories through TSR publishing and having fantasy fiction happen. Well, what's the difference between that and making a graphic novel? Not too far of a leap. So Jeff Grubb just really took his experience, over a decade of experience here at this point, and really brought it to bear on this series. He introduced here a series of very likable characters all coming together and meeting up for a single cause. I like the use of the ship being the vehicle for getting them around, particularly around the Sword Coast. I like the fact that our mage here could go ahead and Cap Moman could go ahead and teleport this ship, phase it into different areas throughout the realms going after these artifacts. We have the introduction into deep lore of an Uni. We have an ogre mage here being a central character as far as the antagonist is concerned, who is trying to trip up our adventures as they're going after this particular, you know, paw, the ogre's paw here. And we have a deep dive into actual lore and gods and references to long-established D&D known characters or entities. So, you know, the title of this is, you know, Vaprax, and here that they're going after. And when going after Vaprax's hand, you see the hand of Vaprax. Well, Vaprax is the destroyer. He's the demigod of ogres here. Ogres and trolls worship Vaprax the destroyer. This deity appears in an exceedingly horrid molten brown and green humanoid. Fabrex has great strength, and he prefers to tear his prey apart with his claws rather than use weapons. It's said that his vicious being is always hungry, and in times of great troubles, he walks the prime material plane, robbing, killing, and eating whatever he finds in his path. Fabrex regenerates 7 hit points per melee round. And I just read that directly out of Deities and Demigods. And then there's also reference to other characters from the Monster Manual throughout this series. And I just think it's great that we're just incorporating D&D lore so seamlessly into these stories, and that they're used as a massive source of inspiration here in giving an immersive experience to a D&D player. Now, when talking about gnolls, which are encountered here in this first book, we have reference to Yenagyo, and I most likely did not pronounce that correctly, but basically the demon prince that the gnolls worship. And Yenagyo, the demon lord of gnolls, amongst the ranks of the demon princes, Yenagyo is one of the most powerful and most feared. There will normally be 66 gnolls of the strongest sort in attendance, and if he is alone, he can consume a lot in his return, as this demon prince also receives homage from the king of ghouls. He can similarly summon 6 to 16 ghouls. So, you know, this is a very, very powerful character. This was read directly out of the Monster's Manual for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. So that's also incorporated into the fiction here. Really great stuff. We have an appearance from Elminster in here, the prime character or guide to the realms that Ed Greenwood would develop. And many will say that Ed Greenwood is Elminster, which is a pretty fair assessment. Ed's a great guy. It's pretty amazing here what he created within the realms, and really what Jeff Grubb has done with Love and Care to translate the realms here into a comic book. So this first story also brings in Tyr, the god of war and law. That is actually the patron with which our paladin prays to. This is exquisite. This is really, really exquisite. The hand of Vaprax takes us on an incredible journey throughout the realms from a culturally diverse group of adventurers. As a matter of fact, out of the two humans, one of the humans is from the East and is from the Asian or Eastern traditions that the section of the Forgotten Realms was based off of. And I thoroughly love that character here too. You have our two characters that came out of Azure Bonds, which was the story written by Kate Novak and Jeff Grubb. They make an appearance. They're actually hired by Elminster to help out Captain Omen and his crew to find the hand here. And there is a lizard man. His name is Dragonbait. And Dragonbait is a nickname given to that creature, that lizard man, by Alias, who basically is a sellsword. And for those who aren't familiar with Azure Bonds, just quick premise, she's hired here to fulfill a mission. She's a very, very fierce fighter, very clever. And Elminster would seek her out because he'd be confident that she'd be able to find this crew who was going after the hand, and to make sure that this indeed was something that was secure and would not be used for evil. The Elminster character being responsible for this particular artifact actually being created, having entered into the world, you know, this hand of Vaprak. This is a wonderful first story to kick off the Forgotten Realms, this Hand of Vaprak arc, issues 1-4. Rags Morales, this was his first foray into comics. gig. And what is amazing about Rags Morales is that for those of you who are big fans of Rags Morales and have followed his career over at DC, this is one of those amazing instances where a fully realized artist is introduced to the world. There is not one panel, there is not one page that is lacking at all. It is exquisite work, fine detail, visual storytelling, the likes of which you thought you were taking in a seasoned veteran who had had decades in the business. As a matter of fact, Jeff Grubb would go on to say that working with Rags Morales was a delight, that Rags understood the stories that Jeff was writing, would translate and take into consideration Jeff's art direction to him, but would come back to him and say, hey, you know something? I think you might want to consider this because I think this might be more effective in service to the story. And Jeff would say, hey, look, 9 times out of 10, he was on point, on the money, and worked really, really well together. They were a dynamic pair in an incredible way in which Rags Morales would start his career over at DC. So, with all of that said, I hope you will join us on our month-long expedition into the Forgotten Realms and read The Hand of Vaprak, as well as our other selections, which I will have included in our show notes, all in celebration of 50 years of Dungeons and Dragons.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.